This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by J.S. Johnson, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Marco's Pizza, the Ministry of Health, ShopSmart, the Deposit Insurance Corporation, ML Foods Limited, Island Game, Airborne Freight and Cargo Services, John Bull, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, White Cares Fashion Center, and Ron's Electric Motor.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. I want to let you know that John Bull is giving you 24 reasons to believe this holiday. Enter to win one of 24 $500 gift cards with every $50 spent. Winners then vie for the grand prize of a $5,000 gift card. Believe in joy. The joy of John Bull. All right, ladies and gentlemen, today I have sitting with me famous Bahamian chef, Simeon Hall Jr. Welcome, welcome to the revolution. Welcome to the revolution.
Thank you so much. Simeon
is, or I'm going to call him Chef. Chef is here to talk to us about food culture, particularly Bahamian food culture. And this is something I've been wanting to do for a while. And I started to try to do research on my own, and I got completely lost. So I went so far as to go to the University of the Bahamas and ask them, I need a food historian, a culinary historian. And they're like, well, we don't actually have one of those. But the best person we think you should talk to is Chef Simeon. And I said, okay, well, let me. And then I saw you and I was like, oh, this must be fate, right? I was trying to work it all out. So we're going to talk about that. But first, I know a lot of people out there know you. But for those who may not, tell us a bit about yourself. How did you get involved with food? And what I find so interesting about you is that you're into the story behind the food.
Sure.
Which is interesting.
Well, you know, I guess now as we go into what it is exactly I'm going to be doing, food historian, culinary storyteller, Bahamian food culture ambassador, food and beverage, hospitality, the whole nine yards, service-oriented, getting people to understand and appreciate how amazing our food history, our past, present, and future of Bahamian culinary is for all of us.
Absolutely.
If you have 700 islands, mm-hmm. how could you not be amazing?
Right.
It's impossible.
Right.
We are blessed in a way that so many other places are not. We're diverse. We're the same. We're alike. We're different. We're all of it. And I always tell people the best way for me to introduce what it is that I talk about is just to know that your plate is your flag. So think about anybody's plate of food and how much that represents them as a people.
Absolutely.
Unlike, you know, you could go somewhere and somebody's probably copying music.
Right.
Food, music, and the arts. That's the components of culture. But people copy music.
Right.
People copy arts. But how many people could copy your grandmother peas and rice,
exactly.
pea soup, and them kind of things?
Right.
They just can't. If you don't have, if you ain't born here, if your neighbor's stringing around here, you know, you can do a version of it.
Right, right, right.
But it ain't gonna be what it is that represents you as a people. And that's my story.
Absolutely. And, you know, we'll start off, but what I find too is that, and we'll talk about this hopefully in a little while, what I find too is that we've lost a lot of our food because of the saturation of fast food, different things like that. Like, for instance, hardly anywhere can I go and find my grandmother's bread, right?
Right.
My grandmother would wake up like 4 o'clock in the morning, bake bread daily, right? You know what I mean? And all her food, she would cook.
Right.
Like that's how she ate, you know? And I can hardly find anyone who cooks like that anymore, and she's a transplant from Eleuthera.
Well, you know, there's several reasons to that. Our blessing is also our challenge. Mm-hmm. I don't like to use the word curse, but it's definitely our challenge. When you live in a country that has 3.5 million cruise ship passengers, where you only have 350,000 locals, you're going to have issues.
Right.
And tourism has forced us to kind of two things. We've watered down our food to please the palates of our visitors. Most of our visitors are from North America. And so we've watered that down. I could vividly remember as an apprentice chef hearing people, non-Bahamians, our chefs were usually expats, come in and say, don't add the pork to the peas and rice because plenty of people don't eat pork. Don't add the this, don't add the that, take that out, move this around.
Right.
Because that's not going to appeal to the audience. You go to almost any place in Nassau in particular, and the Bahamian corner is what you will find. Not too many authentic Bahamian restaurants, but you'll find the Bahamian corner way over your Nassau in the corner there. And they may have somebody's bastardized version of stew conch or something in it.
Right, absolutely.
And then also, too, because we're shift workers. When you're a shift worker, you pick up shifts. And because you pick up shifts, you go and you lean more towards convenience than you do quality.
Right.
So now you have people and families stopping to the convenient side of cooking than you would slow cooking like you would experience. Now, mind you, one of the things that we have to remember is that New Providence is not the Bahamas. The kind of cooking we get here in this island, on this island, the same.
And you know, you said I've heard you say that before. Mm-hmm. That each island tastes different.
Yeah.
And I never thought about it before, but
for sure.
I've been to like, have you ever had like stew fish from Abaco?
Of course.
It tastes like different from the stew, better
sure.
actually.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I'm actually getting ready to put out a piece right now, and it speaks about island specificity. One of the things that I did, 10 years ago, is I would ask Bahamians to tell me what the national dish of the Bahamas is.
Right. I got to be conch salad.
It's not.
Got to be. what is the national dish?
But here's the thing. We'll leave that as a question for the
What is the national
the call-in.
Dish? Okay, all right.
So I won't answer that. I'll answer right. it at the end of the show. It will surprise you, I'm sure. But here's the thing. I no longer say that because how do you have a national dish for some place that does have 700 islands, keys, and rocks?
Yeah.
It's like having one dish for the United States.
Right.
One dish for Latin America. It's impossible because everything is so regional. I'll give you an example. Andros. Andros has the Mennonites. Mm-hmm. Andros has Seminoles. Andros has Geechee descendants. Mm. Andros has the Ortec base. We don't have them in New Providence.
No.
So they don't impact our culture the same way they do in Andros.
Right.
So obviously you're going to have those places are influenced by those four things right off the top. And they are. So the food there is slightly different. Same thing in Abaco. Totally different background than New Providence. So New Providence is filled with fast food, et cetera, because of what I said earlier. But you don't have fast foods on, how many outer islands have fast food?
I don't think any have any anymore.
So you know what is fast food to them?
Only Grand Bahama.
Chicken in the bag. So, and that ain't fast.
No.
Because when you go to them outer islands, they just fry things to order.
Right.
When you go there and you had a cock conch, you can have, you know what I mean? They're beating that in the background. Yeah. Our cock conch restaurants operate different because we got to go with volume.
Right.
So it's so different, and that's one of the things that I always challenge people with. The next thing I challenge people with is misconception is the term a Bahamian restaurant. Mm. How do you have a Bahamian restaurant? How do you have one restaurant representing 700 islands and keys?
Right.
Okay, let's tune it down. There are 16 major islands throughout the Bahamas that the Ministry of Tourism represents to the world. So let's just use those 16. If you have 16 islands, how you could, you, if you have a Bahamian restaurant, first of all, people in Grand Bahama don't eat fried fish like people in New Providence.
I heard that.
They don't.
I heard that.
If you ain't have pancake, cake, that ain't fried fish.
Right. I've never had pancake.
Exactly. So if you're going to have a Bahamian restaurant, you have to represent everybody.
All of them, yeah.
All of the islands, and that's one of the things that we don't do well here. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's a New Providence restaurant. Mm. Okay? When you go to, and one another project that I'm working on is Kung Salad.
That's what I want to ask. We got to talk about Kung Salad.
Kung Salad is one of those things that I think visually and all of the data and all of the information that I've collected on it is going to be mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. Because, again, you don't go to Bimini and ask for tropical salad.
Right. I got to ask you, too. Like, how'd that happen?
Apparently, some years ago, very, very early on, there was a gentleman in Gambia that used to put green apples in Kung Salad. Mm. And so from that, it just...
spiraled.
Yeah. Right. And tropical salad is very New Providence-based.
Yeah, I don't fool with it.
Me neither. I'm a purist, so I don't really like it. Yeah. But when you go to Grand Bahama, you have pickled conch. When you go to Abaco, you have conch with mayonnaise. When you go to...
I saw that when I was at Abaco.
It's amazing.
And I freaked out when they said... They're like, you don't like that.
Listen to me. I challenge anybody who's listening to me right now, do me a favor. Tomorrow or this weekend. This weekend, instead of having tuna and grits, have Kung Salad and grits. Kung Salad and grits one.
The salad?
Oh, man.
I've had Kung Salad and peas and rice.
Oh, see that? Yeah. Same difference.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So, again, here is this so diverse range. I mean, it's all over. It's so vast. So to say what is the national dish of the Bahamas, it can't work.
Impossible.
It can't work.
Okay. I'm going to ask people out there then. What do you think is the national dish of the Bahamas? You can text us at 422-4796, 422-4796. You can also call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. Now, I want to look at this aspect of it. So we're talking about Kung Salad.
Right.
Because when I think of the Bahamas, I think of Kung Salad. Mm-hmm. All right, off top.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to figure out if that's a Bahamian thing or if that's an imported thing, because they also do a version of it in Haiti.
Right.
All right. But they boil the conch.
Yeah.
But it's a similar type salad.
Lambi.
Is that what it's called?
Lambi.
Yeah. So I'm trying, and that's what that's the thing about Bahamian food. I want to understand, like, how much of it is like really us that we came up with from, you know, the slave plantation through colonization and XYZ.
Well, see, one of the things that you also have to remember when you study the story behind food being my canvas, there's a journey that you have to take.
Right.
The Tino people, the Indians, colonization, post-colonization. Limes and citrus was brought in with colonization. Mm-hmm. However, conch was already here. Mm-hmm. And so what they were doing with it before was definitely dried conch, smoked conch, cooked conch was before that. But with the introduction of citrus that came from Latin America when they made the journey up, that's how we got limes introduced into our culture. Limes and Christopher Columbus and his, you know, his, I don't want to call him. That's why they break up the statue, but that's a different point. Coming with tomatoes, onions, peppers, and limes and all of that stuff came down. But we were already producing versions of most of what you see that we would eat today.
Absolutely.
And one of the reasons why there's synergy is because of the impact of colonization throughout the Caribbean. Now, one of the things, another project that I'm working on is to get people to understand that the Caribbean is not one big homogenous amalgamation of culture.
Right, absolutely.
Because most people, it's just say the Caribbean.
Caribbean, right. Yeah.
And you know, the Caribbean is only one Caribbean when we in a competition and everybody else lose and when I'm still in it.
Right, right.
Because when Miss Bahamas was winning the other day,
all the other
Caribbean,
right? Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? But other than that, we're so different.
Right? Yeah. Absolutely.
We're so different, but people take us and they lump us together. But that's not how it is.
Absolutely.
The same thing as you may not notice either one, but barbecue is not American.
Barbecue
is not American.
Where barbecue come from?
Barbecue comes from the Tino word from Haiti called barbacoa.
Barbacoa, yes.
Barbacoa was in Haiti before it was in Latin America. If you watch there's a docuseries called The Chef Table. There's one there on barbecue,
mm-hmm.
and they start with it coming from Latin America.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my presumptuous self.
Actually, I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah. I went online, and I called them out on it.
Mm.
And now I have the Netflix people, et cetera, and now my followers. We're in some talks and collaboration.
Excellent.
Hopefully, we can pitch a story about the Bahamas.
Right.
And what we did for the black food culture throughout the world,
right.
from the Bahamas with Netflix. But that's a whole nother thing. Fingers crossed, Bahamas. And we'll see a docuseries happening on that.
Right.
But the Bahamas is so amazing. But, you know, we definitely have a melting pot, an amazing melting pot.
And
of
a great
food
story to
here.
Tell. Yeah, let's take a couple of phone calls real quick, and then we'll ask some more questions. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Revolution.
Hi.
Hi, hello.
Yes, is it peas and rice?
Peas and rice? No, ma'am.
Peas and rice ain't the national dish?
No,
no.
Okay. That's a side. I mean, that ain't the dish.
Wow. It ain't macaroni. Macaroni and cheese.
It ain't macaroni.
That's a side.
Well, I guess it's fish.
Well, you know, you got to try again.
It ain't fish?
I can't tell you. You got to tell me the dish. You can't just start naming off all the Bahamian food and then be like, that's it.
It's fish or chicken.
You know.
So it need to be like, you have to have like a protein,
right.
like a rice or a starch or something like
what
that.
What is the national dish of Jamaica, ma'am?
Ackee and codfish.
Yeah, ackee and codfish.
See that? One. Ask 50 people what the Bahamian national dish is. You get probably 49 different answers. Ask them what the Jamaican national dish is. And you get 50 correct answers. The reason being, Jamaica is this.
Right.
It's an island.
Right.
You know, they pretty much touch one another. Here, we're totally separate.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
It's totally different.
But all of them things on the plate is our dish.
There you go. Thanks so much, ma'am.
Okay.
All right, bye. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Revolution.
Hi.
Hi.
I would say peas and rice, fried fish, coleslaw, and plantain.
Ah, nice,
that's
nice.
That's a good plate.
That sounds delicious, actually, but that's not it.
Okay, could I say corned beef and rice then?
That's not it.
Okay.
But that's my favorite dish, I can tell you that.
Yeah, corned beef and rice.
What?
Fire engine.
Little fire engine, buddy, and I good to go.
Excellent. Thanks for calling. Let's take another call. We gonna figure this out. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Revolution. Hello. Good afternoon. Are you there?
Pearl Fish and Chris.
Say that again.
What do you think? See, I think he said boil fish and grits.
Bing, 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 bing.
That's
bing.
The national dish.
That is the national
boil
dish of Bahamas,
grits.
As it is
for
documented.
Real?
And I guarantee you, most people will never know that or never think about that. Boilfish
and grits
is the national dish of the Bahamas.
Got to be yellow grits.
Well,
don't
get me started on that because y'all yellow grits ain't yellow grits. But that is the dish of the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah.
How you mean yellow grits ain't yellow grits?
Well, first of all, yellow grits, there's no such thing as yellow grits.
Grits, so I thought grits was corn.
Yeah, it's corn, but it's never this full yellow that we see in the stores.
Okay.
It's a combination. It's speckled.
Mm.
So real island grits is always speckled.
Uh-huh.
So unfortunately, I think most people believe that the yellow grits that we see flying around,
mm-hmm.
especially in Nassau now, is island grits. But first of all, where in the Bahamas we producing all these grits?
That's what I want to know too. I figured in the mill somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. It does not exist.
Coming on the boat, right?
It does not exist. It's actually coarse polenta that they bring in from several different places.
Okay.
But it's dyed,
mm-hmm.
first and foremost.
Is it?
Of course.
I didn't know that.
Where you can get... Okay, one.
So if I... What's
think
the
about
real
a corn.
What do I get the
think
real
about corn.
Corn, yeah.
When you eat corn, what colors are it? Is it all, is corn yellow from top to bottom?
It's not when it's cooked, usually.
No.
Yeah.
It's yellow and white.
Yeah, yellow
it's speckled.
White. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
So when you mill corn, you get a little bit of yellow, you get a little bit of white, and you would get some red in there. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen a corn where it has the little red items? Then that's it.
That's it. So yeah, can you get that here?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
But there's only a couple places that do it.
Mm-hmm.
Cat Island and Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
But again, just like Lady Di pineapples, you got to know somebody who know them people. Because
right.
They don't really sell it to the masses.
Right, right, right.
So they
produce it.
Yeah.
Settle this for me.
Because
me and my wife used to fight about this. But I eventually came over to her side. Cream in the grits or no?
Milk.
Milk.
Yeah.
Milk?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Because I put butter in. You put butter.
Butter
is cream.
Butter
is milk. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So cream.
For sure.
Yeah.
For
okay.
sure. For me? Yeah,
had,
no problem.
Right. We had a big argument. She wouldn't put cream in the grits.
Oh, no.
Early on in
kind
our marriage.
No, that's I do. I put milk in my grits. But milk thickens your grits as well.
Right. That's how I
so
like
you
it.
Have to
yeah.
be. You have right. to be careful. And one, don't forget now. This is another thing about Bahamian that I love. Grits is different in every meal period. Loose grits is breakfast. Firmer grits is lunch,
mm-hmm.
and then rice-like grits.
Thick grits.
Is dinner.
Dinner, like peas and grits.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we move on, right, national dish, boiled fish and grits. Where'd this come from? When I eat these things, I think, who thought this up? Who thought I'm going to put fish in a pot, some lime?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
See, what you have to remember, Juan, our forefathers were ingenious. Basically what you had was we're a fishing village. The Bahamas has always been a fishing village. They met us fishing when they came over here. And what they used to do is, minus the citrus, they used to make a broth or a kind of bouillabaisse and all these other stuff are very similar in style, but they used to make it out of seawater.
Really?
Yeah, of course. Most of our food was made out of seawater and very seafood-based.
That would provide the salt?
Yeah, of course.
Wow.
So, you know, for example, the first set of rice, which is a pilau is a cook-up. A cook-up is a neighborhood dish. You bring this, you bring that, you bring that, you bring that. The first set of that rice was made with crab.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
Wow.
It was made with crab.
Wow.
How do you think we get all these different types of braised rice?
Mm-hmm.
Our rice is braised rice.
Wow.
And so when you talk about peas and rice, you can't talk about peas and rice as a vegetarian dish made with kitchen bouquet.
Mm-hmm.
That's not peas and rice.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Right,
that's
right,
something
right.
what I don't really know what that is.
Yeah.
So again, because pilau is a cook-up, it's a neighbor dish. How you could have a neighbor dish when nobody bring in nothing?
Right. Yeah, makes no sense. So tell me something. And you know when you said like the chefs told you don't put the pork in it?
Right.
I totally forgot people used to cook with pork and
there you
rice.
Go.
My mom did. You know what I mean?
Of course.
But nowadays you can hardly find
nope.
that anywhere.
It does not exist.
So my question is peas and rice just a variation of the jollof rice? Because that's what we hear a lot.
Oh, yeah, for
yeah?
sure.
Okay.
And braised rice, which is all very, very similar. So, yeah, and that's why you find throughout the Caribbean, most places in the Caribbean have a pilau.
Right.
Most places in the Caribbean have some sort of rice with some other sort of vegetable, protein, starch added to it because that used to be the dish.
Right.
Peas and rice used to be it.
Right.
So it's the same thing. And then when you think of paella, for example, and the people that came down with rice came from Africa and from China.
Okay.
Okay? With the indentured workers.
Not
and
North
so,
America?
No. Man, please.
What is that? Like?
North America is last on the list. We can talk about that later. People don't like to talk about it.
The Native Americans?
Yeah,
are,
but
right.
over there.
Okay.
But
yeah.
now we came from over here.
Okay.
And so that's where the confusion often comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing I'll say on that with North America, people always don't understand. But out of all the slaves that came in the journey, only about 400,000 slaves... 400,000 slaves ended up in America.
America. Muslim Caribbean, South America, Central America.
Exactly. Yeah. So where do you think all the culture and everything ended up?
Right, yeah, absolutely.
Just do the maths.
They say a lot of Mexican dishes are from the slaves, too.
Hey, listen,
they
won't admit that.
They'll run you if you go tell them.
Yeah, we know. But that is what it is. And so that's why you see there's so many similarities within this region.
Right.
And so they connect. We love spice, we like lime, we like all these different stuff because of who colonized us.
Right.
When you go to Grenada, for example, you can't find a spicy pepper in Grenada to save your life.
Really?
Because the French colonized them. Mm. You see what I'm saying? And so they eat a lot of butter, they eat a lot of warming spices, they don't eat a lot of fiery or pepper spices because that came with a different passage.
I see. So, you know what? And we'll go to the phone line, which blew my mind, like last year, I think it was, there's this show, I don't know what channel, maybe BBC America, I don't know. There's this show that the British people have where they dress up, they pretend like they're in Victorian era England,
yep.
And they prepare dishes.
Right.
And my wife was like, when she's like, you gotta see this. And they were making duff, right?
Yeah.
And it blew my mind. Yeah. And I always thought duff was our thing, but apparently duff is a British thing
that
we just have a variation on.
Yeah, it was an English pudding that came across. And I'm glad you said it right, Warren, and I applaud you for that. You didn't say guava duff, because guava duff is not the dish.
Right.
The dish is duff.
Duff, right, yeah.
Yeah, right. And the ingredients inside it is seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever is in season, that's what you're supposed to use.
Right.
If there's nothing available, you know what you use?
What's that?
Rum-soaked raisins, which was the first duff. And the reason it's called duff is because the dude who invented it couldn't spell. And so he thought, dough?
Spell duff.
Because rough, spell rough.
Right.
And so it's actually dough.
Right.
The real name of the dish is dough.
Dough.
But because he couldn't spell it, he said duff because rough sound like rough.
Let me ask you this, though. I haven't found any other duff variations in the Caribbean.
No. But there's always some sort of boiled pudding.
Mm.
They all of us have some sort of boiled bread, some sort of stuffed bread dish that is definitely very, very similar.
All right, we got to take a break. Sorry, I'm just fascinated talking to Chef, but we will take your calls. 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, 422-4796, 422-4796. Stay tuned. We'll be right back on the other side with Chef Simeon Hall Jr.
Nice. Right. Thank you so much.
iGateway is the centralized, safe, secure way to access and pay for government services online. Go to mygateway.gov.bs and log in to request a police character certificate, renew your passport or driver's license, and more. Receive emails confirming requests and alerts when documents are ready. You must have a valid, government-issued ID in order to collect documents. MyGateway is fast, easy, and convenient. Go to mygateway.gov.bs and register today.
You've tried everything. ASUS with your mother's cousin, sister's auntie, and even hiding your money under your mattress. But is your money safe? Your Bahamian dollar deposit in a member bank or credit union is insured up to $50,000. If anything happens, your deposit up to the insured value will be returned to you thanks to Deposit Insurance. Visit Deposit Insurance Corporation at www.dic.bs.
Protection for your money guaranteed with DIC.
It's a different kind of Christmas, but everything is here.
Yes, everything is here at ShopSmart Department Stores. Two locations just for you. One on Mackey Street next to RBC and in the Prince Charles Shopping Plaza. Come on down. Everything is here.
At ShopSmart.
At ShopSmart.
At ShopSmart.
Oh, everything is here.
At Fidelity, the holidays are all about family, spending time with loved ones, and being thankful for the little things in life. Worrying about bills should be the last thing on your mind, especially during the holidays. Let Fidelity help you get your bills under control. Fidelity can also get you started with a real savings plan that actually pays you interest. The only thing you need to think about is what you will do with the savings in your pocket this Christmas. Now that's what I'm talking about. Fidelity Bank is here for you this holiday season because you are family, and family is important to us.
It's the most wonderful time.
Mom, can I have an LOL doll for Christmas, please?
Mom, can I have a Nintendo Switch, please?
Okay, children. All you have to do is write a letter to Santa and tell him what you want. And we'll drop it right at the North Pole.
But Mom, Santa doesn't exist.
Who'll tell you all that?
Guess who Santa's partnering with this year? That's right. Airborne Freight and Cargo Services. Everything you need for this holiday season, even those special requests, can be delivered right to your front door, whether you've been naughty or nice. Prefer in-store pickup in Florida? We do that too. Call 377-0450.
Santa does exist?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's BTC, 12 days of Christmas giveaways.
That's right, BTC is giving you free cash and prizes for the next 12 days leading up to Christmas.
On the first day of Christmas, BTC gave to me
free cash, free service, and a free prize from BTC.
Oh,
just pay your bill in full or sign up for any service, and you can be a winner with our 12 days of Christmas promotions.
Merry Christmas from BTC.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Food security is a challenge for many. Now in a pandemic, many more are unsure of their next meal. Through their Feed 5000 program and a $20,000 donation, AML is working to ensure that everyone has a meal for the holidays, and they're inviting you to help. Now until December 17th, visit any Solomon's, Cost-Rite, Fresh Market, or Domino's in Nassau or Freeport, and Exuma Markets in Georgetown to donate and help feed a family in need this Christmas. No amount is too small. Remember, we're all in this together.
Cashmas time, here we go. Mercy's doing it big this year. Cashmas time with extra cheer. 12 days of merry winnings from your friends at Island Game. Friends we trust, hey, we know. Cashmas time, here we go. Prizes and lots of dough. This Christmas, come catch a lick with 20 on your account. Quick, quick, quick. And you can win some awesome at Percy's Island Game.
Don't spend this holiday season in traffic when you can find that perfect gift for everyone on your list at Y Cares. Boys and girls clothing, Y Cares. Kids shoes, Y Cares. Ladies tops and sweaters, Y Cares. Shirts for men and jeans for all, Y Cares. And for the home, everything for every room from blankets and curtains to stoves and microwaves, Y Cares. Three locations ready to serve you: East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and Bahama Avenue. Spend this holiday with your family and friends, not in your car. Shop
Y-Cares. At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
Come celebrate with Bahamas Welding and Fire Blowout Christmas Savings, up to 50% off Friday, December 17th, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Save big on toys, Christmas decorations, houseware supplies, kitchen and outdoor cooking supplies, lawn and garden supplies, automotive and hardware supplies, appliance combo specials, power tools, and a whole lot more. Be there! Door Buster specials, giveaways, and door prizes. BWF number 13, Wilton Street. We are more than just our name.
Hi, I'm Levin Miller, and I want to take this time to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a most prosperous New Year.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We're sitting here with Chef Simeon Hall Jr., who's blowing my mind about Bahamian culinary history. We're going to go. Let's go to the phone call, but I got something I got to ask you before we go through the break. All right. We got texts we got to read. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan McCartney.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm Chef.
Hi, how are you?
You have to repeat the Bahamian dish. To me, pea soup and dough is our main dish. Mm. Ronnie Butler made a whole song on that with everything in it. Salt, beef, palm, turkey, everything from the old days.
I believe you, but, you know, these are the facts. That's our feeling.
Now, peas and rice.
Yeah.
My grandmother, you were going to bring her Uncle Ben's long green rice.
Right.
Only. I don't know where it come from.
Yeah.
But if you, and she made it with salt beef and salt pork. If you put a red Bahamian a piece of rice in a bag, the bag would be greasy, right?
Right.
So I don't, where I'm going to? It's soggy and it's mushy.
That's because, again, that's where we've gone with our product. Whereas, you know, somebody said, oh, it's too greasy. Somebody said you can't add these ingredients because somebody may not eat pork or they may not eat beef or they're allergic to conch or all these different stuff. First and foremost, if you're making parboil peas and rice, shame on you. Well, that's all I can say.
You heard me a lot of feelings.
I ain't care what nobody feelings right now. If you're making parboiled peas and rice, shame on you. You could don't follow me no more. You could hate me, whatever. But I said what I said, and I mean it. That's number one. Number two, the reason that oils is added to rice or braised rice or pilau is so that it's not dry. Mm. You know what I mean? And the coating delivers the flavor. Mm-hmm. The flavor goes through the oil, and the oil then is distributed throughout the dish, and that's where you get the flavor.
Okay.
And like I was saying earlier, we used to use lard, pork fat.
Right.
And so that pork fat becomes a part of the dish. Also remember, one, we used to do a lot of open flame cooking as well.
Right.
And so you would get a ever so gentle kiss of smoke and smokiness in a lot of our food.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why you get so much of a different taste than you do now. When I did an event a couple years ago, what I ended up doing, because I wanted to give them as close to an authentic Bahamian rice as possible, I smoked all of the vegetables before I added it to the dish.
Wow.
And so you got that nice little, wow. That nice little undertone of smokiness. And I made my own salt beef, my own salt pork. I took dry conch from Nassau. This was in Chicago. Mm. And then I did an event and I pre-ordered the stuff, but they told me, Chef, sorry, we couldn't find these stuff. No problem. I'll make my own.
Right.
So I made my own there and I cured it for 2 days quick and it was absolutely amazing. That was with Ministry of Tourism. Shout out to that culinary team.
Wow.
And, you know, again, this is the, but how you could be hungry for dry parboil canned pigeon peas, no flavor rice. That don't make nobody hungry.
You know, and just go back to my grandparents, they would shell peas. I see nobody doing that, and I ain't gonna sit and shell peas. I used to hate it because they had the croaker sack of peas.
Yep.
And you would just sit and shell it in a bucket.
But Juan, you don't have to. Like, for me, I go to the farmer's markets, and they sell it out there.
Okay.
I have two bags of it right now, just waiting on the perfect time to do it.
Absolutely.
And I personally make my peas and rice with jasmine rice.
Mm.
The reason being is jasmine rice is the closest that I could find to what that long grain rice in the past used to be,
mm-hmm.
before it became so commercial with no aromas, no flavor profile, etc. But now jasmine rice smells like popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
So it still gives you some of those hidden notes.
Right.
But you just got to know how to cook it so it don't be friendly.
Right, exactly. That's my problem. My recipe, close together. Tight. I'm gonna ask you this, but let's take a couple calls first. Good afternoon.
Right.
Welcome to The Revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan. How you doing?
I'm great. How's it going?
Great. Wonderful. You know, people who put kitchen bouquet and when they're doing their rice can't cook.
No.
They can't cook.
No.
Even when they're doing the stew fish, they put a kitchen bouquet in it. You're supposed to fry that damn make it come brown.
Exactly.
That's what you're supposed to do. And another thing, on the corn, 99% of the corn on the market is GMO.
Exactly.
See, because the natural corn, like you said, from all the islands, it's like a mixture, like you said, it's sparkling.
For sure. Yeah,
sometimes you find the husk and everything inside
for
of
sure.
it. So that GMO corn is cancer-causing agent. And when you go into the food store, people buying the 10, 20 pounds of that corn, that's GMO. Because if you take a corn that comes from the U.S., let it dry, and you plant it, it will never grow because you have to go back to Monsanto.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, my brother.
But he is absolutely right. That's one of the things, and that's what I'm trying to tell people. That's not what we would call authentic.
Right.
And definitely, if you know how to prepare your food properly, the combination of how you cook down tomatoes and the natural coloring that comes from the protein and the peas is what colors rice.
Ah. Let's take another call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan, and good afternoon to your guests.
Hello, ma'am.
I call him Sir Simeon.
Sir Simeon.
Yes, Sir Simeon. Simeon. Very humble young man. Simeon.
Yes, ma'am.
I know you remember those days of the culinary, as you spoke just now about the Ministry of Tourism with myself, Deanne, and all of the above who were under the culinary when we used to have the events.
Right.
And so you know who you're talking to, right?
I kind of...
Marsha.
Okay.
Okay.
Awesome.
So we had some wonderful days, and those culinary events, man, you know, made you to bring out those gifts inside of you.
100%.
And many, many others.
Yes, for
and
sure.
I wish that the Ministry of Tourism, as the country opens back up softly, that we could get back to those days, the Junkanoo Summer Festivals. You understand what I'm saying? Where the chefs that have been created, they can expand on their priceless gifts. You understand what I'm saying? And we can get back. And back to this corned beef and rice. Listen, that's what I learned how to cook on. Corned beef and rice.
My
and
favorite.
One, they were the best food you could think about. But now I don't know how the corned beef go now because I don't like it no more. I eat too much of it. And the yellow grits. I had to grind the corn on Long Island to make the breakfast in the morning. You have to go feed the sheep, grind the corn for the grits, and make your own food. So those were priceless times. And this is what we have to do as a nation. Get back to basics so that we can continue to feed ourselves.
Absolutely. I watched a documentary some years ago about how they make corned beef.
Yeah.
I think it's in Argentina or Brazil.
Yeah, yeah.
And I kind of pulled back off of it.
So, sometimes you need to watch so much TV once.
Right.
Because I love corned beef.
I mean, I like it too. Let me ask you this question. I got to ask you this.
Okay.
This is controversy, right? Coleslaw should have tomatoes in it.
Yes, it can. It 100% can.
Right.
The reason being is one of the things that we have to remember, the Bahamas has a very seasonal growing period.
Mm-hmm.
And again, these were items that were created around seasons.
Right.
And you don't have, most of the time, you use what's available.
Right.
And so, to me, yes. Cabbage grows very, very well here. Tomatoes grow very well here. Carrots, man, too much people growing carrots.
Right.
So why is it that we're using imported carrots
in the...
and fighting over that it should be imported carrots
really?
And not losing local cabbage and tomatoes?
Yeah, we should be.
Exactly. Some of the best tomatoes I ever had in my life was from Taxi Man in Eleuthera. I forget his name, but he's grown some... heirloom tomatoes, absolutely amazing.
Excellent.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me ask you this. My grandmother used to make this, and I don't see it anywhere. And this is what we talk about. We're losing things, and maybe it was an Eleuthera thing, and they still make it there.
Right.
But it's cabbage slaw,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's cabbage, peppers, lime, tomato, green peppers.
Yeah.
I've never seen anyone else do it.
I do that all the time.
Again,
seasonal product.
Yeah.
What's available? Now, you know, again, if you've ever been to the family islands, on you depending on imported goods. One, let me tell you something. Some of them, by the time you're ready for some of them carrot, my friend, they ain't carrot no more. They jerky.
It's done.
So, you know, it's cheaper you just use what you have. And that's right. What our ancestors, our generations before us used to do all the time.
All right. We got to take a break. We'll be back on the other side with Chef Simeon Hall Jr. I got your hundreds of texts look like people arguing. It's just food evokes passion.
It does.
All right. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Awesome.
All right.
This is Dwight Strawn with Morning Blend. On behalf of the crew and my co-hosts, I wish you all a very Merry Christmas and an incredibly blessed and prosperous New Year.
Melted cheese sauce with mushroom drips from the sides. Boy, I just can't.
What are you talking about?
The bacon mushroom melt from Wendy's.
For real?
Yes, if you're gonna melt, then melt with this. Try the layers of cheese and smoky mushrooms that makes this burger more craveable than any other. Upgrade your Wendy's combo to a large up until December 17th and scratch and win over $45,000 in cash and prizes.
For a limited time only, Wendy's, different inside and out.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands brands of electric motors, heat and cooling water pumps, generators and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S.C., 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 J.S. Johnson Insurance. Peace of mind.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. Tis the season to shop John Bull. Every $50 spent gives you the chance to be one of 24 winners of a $500 gift card. Daily gift card winners will then vie for the grand prize of a $5,000 gift card.
What?
See in store for details. Hell of a prize, isn't it? Make someone really happy this Christmas. All right, we're back here with Chef Simeon Hall Jr. We're talking Bahamian culinary history. Where does all this stuff come from? All the stuff that we eat, who came up with it? And one of the key things you said, and I got to ask you this question before we get any deeper. Let me ask you this question before we get any deeper, before we get back to that. And the numbers to call are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. The text line is 422-4796, 422-4796. I gotta ask you this. It's been on my mind for the longest time. Curry, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's an Indian spice. I get it, right? Mm-hmm. I could see Trinidad got curry, right? Because they got Indian migrants in Trinidad. Jamaica, they had some Indian migrants in Jamaica. How do we get it?
Well, first of all, we ain't really, and I can put a disclaimer here, but this is one of the things. I might as well talk about it. It's going to be in my book, etc. We don't really got curry.
No?
Because Bahamian curry is very special.
Really?
Yeah. The way that see, what you have to remember is curry is not a dish, but a cooking method. So just like you would say fried.
It's curried.
It's curried.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And the mere fact that for the most part, not everybody, but for the most part, that we scoil or we pre-boil our meats to curry.
Really?
That ain't curry.
Is that what happens?
Yes, sir.
I didn't know you could do it like that.
No, you ain't. You ain't supposed to. But that's one of the things that we do. And it's because when you think of the journey of food, and again, the same way our food has kind of disappeared over the years, think about the passage of where currying came from, curried spices comes from, etc. And by the time it got to us, it was less than what it is almost anywhere else. I personally, I know people will get upset to hear me say it, I personally do not like Bahamian curry.
No.
Because I understand and know the different types of curry, from West Indian curry to Indian curry to British Indian curry and all the other types of curries that I think that our version is not really it.
Right. I gotta tell you, I don't taste a lot of difference from when I sit in an Indian restaurant and eat Indian curry, or if I go to a Jamaican restaurant and eat Jamaican curry.
First of all, don't forget now, again, let's not put everybody in the box.
Right.
Just because I say I run a Bahamian restaurant, or you say you run a Jamaican restaurant or an Indian restaurant,
that don't
automatically qualify you to be the one.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you have to also be careful of that, because a lot of times, because of migration and everything else, you would have people journeying and doing things outside of where they would do it normally. And okay, I wasn't a chef where I come from, but now Being a chef is what I can be.
Right.
And so my food doesn't necessarily have to appeal to my homeland. It has to appeal to where I am
now. Customers, right.
And so it's totally different. Mm. And that is why, like I said earlier, that's why you have more of American Chinese, right. Bohemian Chinese food here,
right.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, like I have not, I didn't go to any Chinese restaurants in Jamaica or anywhere, but I've never seen Chinese cook curry anywhere other than here.
Yeah, well, you know, funny story is we've had black people have had an amazing relationship with Chinese people for a very, very long time. One of the reasons is black people were allowed to eat and to purchase and to be a part of Chinese businesses before they were other businesses. That is why Chinese people are in different parts of black culture throughout the world. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, let's use the U.S. for example. Before, a black person could eat in a white restaurant, they could eat in a Chinese restaurant. Mm-hmm. Because Chinese people were always about commerce. And they were also workers that came over as well. So they kind of understood, and that's why we meshed together. Because we mesh together, now we've impacted each other in terms of food.
Here's how we cook.
Kung fried rice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Kung lo mein. Kung this. Kung that.
Cook the Why hell out
not?
Of it, too. Yeah.
Why not? Because, again, you're using what is available in the place that you are.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why I don't understand why we have Italians or an Italian restaurant in the Bahamas mm-hmm. using frozen calamari.
Right. Makes no sense.
It makes no sense right. when the same dish mm-hmm. is that of conch. That's right. why most Bahamians don't realize the Greeks brought conch, crack conch to the Bahamas.
Really?
100%.
The Greeks brought crack conch to the Bahamas.
The Greeks brought crack conch to the Bahamas.
When? How? How did that happen? I've never heard that before.
I can need security to leave this place.
I've never heard that. You're trying to steal our culture. You're trying to culturally appropriate.
Hey, when you think about the dish, think about the dish.
Mm.
And then, see, again, that's what happens when you dive into the history. I'll backtrack a little bit and also remind people that black people never invented fried chicken.
Really?
No.
This is white people.
It's a German dish.
Germans. Oh.
Schnitzel.
Right.
Same thing.
But they fried chicken in Korea.
Yeah, but it came from Germany into, and again, that's how we get all of these things that happen. And now, mm-hmm. I'll be the first one to say, I think we perfected
it. Right. We nailed it. Right.
We nailed it.
Right.
You know what I mean? We have a history of being creative. One of the things that people say wrong as well is that black people use the scraps mm-hmm. from what the slave masters left over and
right.
all that. First of all, it's not a scrap.
Right.
It's a part that we were able to very geniusly take and make into something that was so amazing
mm-hmm.
that it is one of the few cultures that has permeated the entire world.
Right.
Everybody know about our food.
Right.
Everybody know about black food. And I say black food and not soul food or American, African-American and all these other places that exclude the Caribbean because soul food is the niece of Caribbean food.
Mm.
You can't miss out a whole pot.
Right.
And then just journey up the road. They stop here.
Right.
And don't forget now, I don't know what they taught you, but everybody taught me that he landed somewhere in the Bahamas.
Right, correct.
And when you land somewhere for the first time, what do? You explore.
Right.
And once you start exploring, you start dropping off.
Right.
So why is it that we shouldn't believe that something was dropped off here in the Bahamas? And that's why we're so important to the conversation.
Right.
But however, we are often left out.
Now, I find that people discount, and maybe I'm getting it the reverse way, but people discount the Bahamian contribution to black food in America.
For sure.
Particularly, I noticed that a lot of food along the eastern seaboard of the United States,
for
like
sure.
Carolinas, Georgia, XYZ, it seems to me to have quite a bit of Bahamian influence, or maybe that's their influence on us, I'm not sure.
It actually went both ways, Warren.
Okay.
If you go to Charleston in South Carolina, where I'm actually one of the featured chefs in the Charleston Wine and Food Festival in March.
Excellent.
And one of the things you have there is the Geechee people. The
right.
Geechee people are some of the only people that you would find on this side of the world that sound Bahamian.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to Charleston, you will swear
you're in the Bahamas.
You somewhere in the Bahamas.
Really?
110%.
Yeah, I've heard
there's
that.
No difference in their lingo.
Really?
And so historians have said that it was both ways.
Mm.
Some of it came from them to us and from us to them.
Us to them, right.
Because now, don't forget, now they escaped and came here.
Right.
And they brought with them all of their
but the
culture and all of that. Of
absolutely.
Course. 100%.
Okay, this is, and I got a lot of texts, but I got to get my stuff out too. This is a big debate, right? Macaroni and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen macaroni and cheese here. I've seen macaroni and cheese in Jamaica. I've seen macaroni and cheese in other Caribbean islands. And I've seen macaroni and cheese in South America.
Right.
Who did the who's it? I think ours is the best. But who did this?
I personally believe that it is a South American dish.
Okay.
All of my research has led me to believe that it is from that part.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it is an amalgamation of the pasta that came over from Italy, the dairy, and everything else. Now, one of the good things is all of those places that you named, it's slightly different in each one of those. You know what I mean? They
mm-hmm.
call it macaroni pie.
Mm.
This one is more of a loose macaroni.
Right.
This one is, you know, it don't have the same cheese that we have.
Right.
And then don't forget now, we use a New Zealand brand sharp cheddar,
mm-hmm.
which is not readily available in a lot of places.
Right.
To the point where most people, I don't know if they was like me, but when I went away to college, that's the one thing that was in my bag. Yellow cheese from the food store. 110%. Two reasons. One, you can't find it in the States
right,
like that.
Right.
And two, their cheese is too expensive
right, yeah,
to
absolutely.
Make the our macaroni with 30 pounds of cheese in it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So again, that's what sets us apart from the rest. And because of that ingredient itself, that's why we're totally different. We use condensed milk.
Mm-hmm.
We use New Zealand sharp cheddar,
mm-hmm.
which is the block yellow cheese. You can't get Grammy them to use Kraft and all them different pre-shredded cheese for nothing
right.
in the world.
Right.
And then we use elbow macaroni.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, the secret to Bahamian mac and cheese is the pasta is overcooked. 110%
mm-hmm.
overcooked.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you, like me, and you try to be a chef and cook your pasta the right way, and it's al dente and all these things, forget about it. Because it can fall apart.
Right, right, right.
It ain't gonna be like the macaroni that our grandmothers make. Now the debate is,
right.
there's some people who put eggs, some people who don't. And then there's some people who put mustard and some people who don't.
Mustard?
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And macaroni and cheese?
Yeah, 100%.
I've never heard that in my life.
Yeah, see.
All right, let me get to some of the text. This says, great show as usual. Your guest said, black people do not start frying chicken. That is blasphemy. All right, and this is actually goes back to the point I was starting when we came back to the second hour. So this says boil fish is the national dish with grouper in it and not hogfish in it. Explain to them what you explained to me.
Again, whatever is readily available.
Right.
Yes, for
and
sure.
that's a part of our culture.
Yes.
That we seem to have lost.
Right. We're fishing village.
Right.
And post the development of New Providence as we know it now,
mm-hmm.
even in some of the outer islands, think about it, we're a fishing village.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever that is, that's where you would use what you have. And when you say grouper in the Bahamas, especially in Nassau, you primarily mean Nassau grouper.
Right.
But Nassau grouper is only one of the species of grouper.
Correct. Right.
And so when you say grouper, you got to understand that there are so many different types of fish in the sea
mm-hmm.
that unfortunately, the reason why we have overfishing is Bahamians in particular New Providence Nassauvians do not eat a variety of fish. We eat a couple snappers, we eat the grouper, and that's about it.
Right, yeah.
Everybody else, other island people, other people, right. They swear by
they
other
all kinds of different fish.
Yeah, for sure, exactly. 100%.
Yeah, I got some fish from like, and it's the fish tastes different too.
Yeah,
in different,
for sure.
In different parts of the Bahamas. Like, I got some fish from Ragged Island before.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing, right? And I went to Inagua, and the guy who picked us up, because we were doing some stories over there, the guy who picked us up, he worked for Morton Salt, and he took us by this place called The Pond, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like all this, the ocean flows in,
right?
And it's just teeming with fish, and they just let them go and get the fish. This guy caught the fish, gut the fish, clean the fish, fry the fish.
Right.
Like, in the space of, like, an hour. It's the best fish I ever had in my life. It was just island salt, fish, lime.
Yeah.
And it was delicious. And I've never had fish like that since.
See, and then that's one of the things why I said at the beginning that we have to remember as a people that New Providence isn't the only island in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that so many people haven't ventured into the outer islands, so many people haven't experienced their version of our culture, so they don't understand that we are so diverse. Quickly, Ron, let me tell you some of the food that we eat in the Bahamas. In different islands, we eat donkey, we eat seagull eggs.
Seagull eggs.
We eat wild boar, we eat seagull, we eat...
how's seagull? I always wondered that.
Oh, boy.
Y'all, I felt like it'd be wrong to eat one.
We eat all sorts of stuff. But when you tell a Nassauvian that, oh, man, you squirmish and all kind of different things. But you donkey is eat.
Right.
We eat donkey. 100%. Bahamians is eat donkey. You may not eat it.
Flamingo.
Yeah. Hush. Everybody in the Bahamas know what hush hush. Plenty of y'all might not eat it,
right?
But y'all know better.
And they say it's really good because
sea cucumbers, the whole nine yards. There's a lot of things that we eat, but in the mainland,
right?
It would be.
Don't forget barracuda one. That's how people love to get sick from eating barracuda. I'm not gonna lie to you, barracuda is delicious. But I did get sick from barracuda before.
Yeah.
But it's so good, and I think people keep going back because it's so good.
Yeah.
So why is it that we? What are we doing wrong?
Well, you know, again, reef feeders, which unfortunately is so many of our fish here in the Bahamas. My favorite fish put me down about 2 months ago.
Right.
Hogfish.
Really?
It put me down, boy. Mm-hmm. I had to get there a bat.
Wow.
And so, you know, because they're reef fish. And anytime you have reef fish, you have the possibility to get sick.
Absolutely. It says, hush your mouth. Okay, this says, okay, where did Johnny Cake come from?
Journey Cake.
Journey. Someone said that to me before.
Journey cake. Yeah, it's Journey Cake.
What does
it
that
was
mean?
It's a cast iron skillet fried bread that they used to take into the fields of the plantations when we used to have indentured workers who were working. And it was because it was something that kept. And something that they could put in their bag and could be transported. See, and that's one of the things that, you know, because we have such a purified version of our culture nowadays that we've stepped so far away from understanding what that meant.
Wow.
And so that's what it is. And the original version of that is called swinge cat.
Swinge cat.
Swinge cat. Swinge cat coming from cooking flour over an open flame against swinge. So, meaning it can burn. And so, open flame journey bread that you took on the journey was actually a part of it being burnt, actually cured it so that it wouldn't get mold and stuff on it. Because mold doesn't live on burn.
Mm.
And so, that's why it would swinge. And that's why they could take it out for a long period of time. Ergo, it's called journey bread.
Wow. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I got to ask you. Oh, these people are talking about nationalists. Good afternoon, Juan. So-called nationalists. Just peas and grits with fried fish. No, we cleared it up. It says conch salad is nothing more than ceviche with conch on it.
Pretty much.
Says Juan, nothing new here. I've been to the DR. They eat conch salad, but they do it differently. They cook it a little. They call it lambe.
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 Lambe. All right. says National Dishes Grouper. It says National Dishes Pea Soup and Dumpling. I gotta ask you that. What is pea soup and dumpling?
Another pillow. Another really? Cook up. You know, again, our history lies in so diverse and such an amalgamation of different cultures. Mm-hmm. You see it in our original food.
Right.
And so basically, pea soup is peas and rice without the rice. Mm. And now don't forget, flour was brought over way later than those items. And so you have what we would now look at as pea soup and doughboy,
right.
Which is, again, when you think about working in fields, working very hard and very, very labor intense, you would have a meal either before or after that was very heavy. Mm-hmm. Ergo, that's why some of our health issues in the Bahamas is based on our food was for slaves.
Right. For people who was working hard, right.
Yeah, in the sun and burning calories and all
right.
nine
Not
yards.
Sitting in the bank, right?
We get rid of the slave pot.
Not the food
pot. We hold on to the food pot.
Right.
And so that's why our food is so... And when you think about it, they did studies on our salt intake. Our salt intake is so high because, again, when you was waking in the sun mm-hmm. in order to... replenish
electrolytes and all this.
You would have salt.
Wow.
But now we ain't waking in the sun no more.
But we still want the salt and the fat and the lard.
It's still in us. So that's the issue.
Let me ask you this, because I have a problem with this. I gotta lie to you. Is this sheep tongue, pig foot? How we get here?
I mean, again, being very, very creative.
Really?
Using whole animals, using the whole parts. Mm. And don't forget, now, South came over with the... in the colonial era.
Oh, really?
And it was cold in the Bahamas. If you go throughout the Caribbean, mm-hmm. everybody else sells coal.
Really?
Yes, 110%.
Coal sells?
Yes.
Like
if you read up on it, uh-huh. sauce meat is what we would call in culinary head cheese.
Okay.
So it's basically taking the parts of an animal. Mm-hmm. And cooking it down till it becomes gelatinous, you chill it down and then you kind of slice it.
Ah.
So when I go to the South and I make head cheese, I call it sauce. Mm. When you go to Grenada, they have a version that is saltfish sauce. And saltfish sauce is almost like kong salad.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to different parts of the Caribbean, they eat it cold. It's a
so
it's
why
a
we eat
charcuterie.
It warm.
Because again, Bahamians is Bahamians.
This is how we do it.
We change up everything, and it comes from if you look at the influences from places like Germany and stuff,
mm-hmm.
they have a very similar dish that is kind of hot and sour, and that's how we got that over here.
Okay, let's take a phone call. Good afternoon, welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello,
hi.
Hey, Juan, how you doing, Juan?
Great. How's it going?
How's it going, Chef Simeon Oil?
Amazing.
This is your cousin, Marco Juan.
Oh, okay, what's going on?
I only called to say, hey, you got the best chef on the radio right now, right?
Thank you,
brother. Really enjoying the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It says, tell this Nassau boy you don't mill corn, you just grind corn, signed a barefoot Long Island boy.
Same difference.
This says, Juan, I grew up in Cat Island. I grind corn for 9 years. I know corn is be yellow.
Corn is be what?
Yellow.
No, it's never full yellow. That's impossible. 100%.
It says, Juan, I'm enjoying your show. Tune in late. Who's your guest, please? This is Chef Simeon Hall, Jr.
Yeah.
Who's got just a wealth of knowledge about Bahamian food. It says, my daddy was from Acklands. He used to put cream in scrambled fried eggs.
Yeah.
Cream and eggs?
Yeah, but two reasons for that. One, it stretches it. And two, it prevents it from turning green. Because, you know, when heat stays on eggs long enough, it'll turn green.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, for sure.
So tell my cousin he's sounding good and is on the best show from Jeffrey Dugay.
Dougal,
okay.
Ah, nice.
Juan, ask the best chef in the world if carrots go in sauce.
Again, there's no wrong way to make Bahamian food. The reason is, anytime you have ethnic food, It varies from home to home. Mm-hmm. And so some people may put carrots, some people may not. Some people put potatoes, some people may not. But there, for me, there is no wrong recipe for something that means what it means to Bahamians on the whole. Now, what is the basis? The base of that is you have to have the protein. You have to have some sort of citrus. You usually have some sort of heat because it's a spicy and sour dish.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's where I said it came from the cold south, and it was flavored protein using the gelatin and all of that. Right.
I think if you don't put potatoes in south, you perhaps could kill. That's just my humble opinion.
See, but then potatoes is different. And now I don't know if I want potatoes in my sheep dunk sauce.
Right.
To me, that's a,
I don't,
that's a stretch.
I don't do sheep dunk, though.
So. You don't do...
No, I don't do no tongue, no foot, no huff, no...
Listen, shout out to the
snout.
Best... If you want some of the best food here in New Providence, please visit Evelyn's Food Truck by the...
Evelyn's Food Truck by the Potter's Key.
By Potter's Key.
Okay.
And then also, too, if you go follow me on social media once, sorry, I got to plug myself.
No, I need to.
Shame.
Yeah.
www.simeonhalljr.com. I just did a piece for Bon Appetit magazine where I featured 8 of my favorite go-to places. Please go and check it out. As soon as you go on the page, it pops up. And tell me if you agree or you disagree with the places that I love. But I can tell you, Evelyn makes some amazing food.
Mm-hmm.
Her breakfast is more Bahamian, and then her lunch is Haitian Bahamian.
Haitian Bahamian.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And that is a fusion made in heaven.
Really? What does that look like?
Oh, it is their version of French influence, Creole, Taino, indigenous people influence, plus ours. Oh, man. Mm-hmm.
It's outstanding. I'm going to try it.
It's absolutely amazing. Amazing.
It says, are we sure that barbacoa is Haitian and not Cuban? The word is closer to Spanish than French.
No.
But the research I did, while definitely crediting barbecue to the Caribbean, dates it to Cuba before Haiti.
No. Absolutely incorrect.
Okay.
Barbacoa is in its root form, it is a Taino word from Haiti. 110%.
So they kept that from when the Tainos with Columbus.
110%.
I gotcha. All right.
And when I finish this book, you could find all of the information you need.
It says, loving the show. Chef is so knowledgeable, very refreshing. Hey, Juan, great show. Ask Chef how he cooks his peas and rice. I like my rice brown. I hate to see peas and rice white. I think you addressed this before.
Yeah.
Ask what all he puts in his rice, what color the peas and rice is. Thank you.
If they go on my Instagram, I have a post on that, and I also have it on my website on the blog version. I'm almost certain I went through peas and rice and conch fritters in detail. Not specific recipes, but the detail behind creating it.
Right.
Yeah.
It says tomato and coleslaw, no sir. Okay. You know what I got to ask you too? Like, there seems to be a heavy mayonnaise influence in a lot of our dishes as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder where that comes from.
You know, boy, I haven't really done much research on mayonnaise itself. Mm-hmm. But I know that Bahamians like sauce. We like saucy things.
Right,
Most of our food is very saucy in the recipes. Stews, sauce, creaminess, that sort of stuff. Is very, very Bahamian. And shout out to people who don't put potato salad in the fridge before they eat it.
Wait. Let's
cold potato salad.
Out.
No, sir. I'm so sorry.
Cold potato salad.
No.
So it should, you can't eat it cold?
No.
It should be room temperature.
It should not be in the fridge.
Oh, Lord. You shake.
So that's why I don't eat coleslaw from out. I mean, potato salad from out.
Right.
Because I know you have to refrigerate it. All of my chef training tells me you have to. But it changes what the potato salad takes it like.
Really? Now here's...
100%.
Some people don't agree with me. I'm going to say I'm right. You got to put pickles in the potato salad. Not whole pickles. Diced pickles, relish.
Oh, boy. I absolutely think you just lost your Bahamian card. 110%. The reason being, that is a Southern American style of potato salad.
Really?
Yeah,
100%. That's not a Bahamian thing.
Not at all.
Wow.
No, sorry. If you're putting pickles in your potato salad, shame on you.
I got some penance to do then. It says, what about raisins and coleslaw? It's a no for me.
Again, if that's something you like in your whole soul, I don't see why not. I like the sweetness according to what the dish is. And we also used to make carrot slaw. That was literally just carrots and raisins.
Really?
I know my grandmother made that all the time, and it all depended on what the dish was. Mm-hmm. And she didn't realize what she was doing. I now understand what it was. But different dishes, you do that so that you cut through the richness, mm-hmm. or you add richness to the dish. That's what coleslaw does to curry.
Yes.
It creates that really, really amazing balance.
Right.
And for me, the coleslaw on a curry plate is cabbage and carrots.
Okay, absolutely.
But the coleslaw on a fried fish plate could be cabbage and tomatoes.
Oh, okay. Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
so
yes,
it
yes,
all
yes.
makes a lot of sense. A yes. lot of times, our grandmothers didn't realize what they were doing in terms of a structured culinary plan, but it definitely was something that they have to remember because now, don't forget now, we were talking about this earlier. Grammy and them had a relationship with their pots, their pans, the stove.
Right.
One measuring cup that she wasn't no measuring cup.
Right.
But if that ever lost, Grammy couldn't make bread no more.
Right, yeah. And they don't want new pans and new pots and stuff like that.
Nope,
my grandma's stuff was like 40 years old.
They don't want it and they ain't looking for it. And so that was their relationship. My relationship is with my scale because I'm writing a cookbook, because I want to have consistency, et cetera, et cetera. That's what my relationship is. And so I try to do things a little bit more rigid, but my grandmother wasn't like that. Mm-hmm. My grandmother made raisin bread every Thursday for years and years and years. And shout out, God bless her soul. Some tasty, Grammy bread wasn't right.
Right.
For sure. You know why? Because Grammy ain't had the cup. Somebody moved Grammy cup.
So she was guessing.
So Grammy ain't had the cup to measure the thing. So all I know, and the taste was off, and the finger was aching this week, so she couldn't test. That was Grammy.
Right.
You
right,
understand?
Right. Yeah.
I can't do that.
Mm.
That's not my style. My style is write it down, document it, etc. Their version was oral. You know what I mean?
Right.
So now that's why I want to write down everything. That's why I'm so active on social media. An online footprint so that there can be
a record
Absolutely. Of what it is that I'm doing. And I owe that to my Grammy because I know what her bread was when it was spot on.
Right.
110%. Nobody made better bread than my grandmother to a point where there wasn't nothing else made in my Grammy house that day.
Right.
And that's for dinner.
That was bread.
You either get some cheese, you get a piece of tuna, or you get some butter and right. go from around here.
Right.
That's what I mean? That's it.
Right.
Because my grandmother, the bread was everything.
Right.
She
yeah.
spent all day on the bread.
Wow.
Me, if bread take me more than 2 hours, I trying to figure out what happened. The yeast ain't rising. What's going on? Grammy, all day.
All day.
Same flour, same yeast, same brand of raisins, the whole nine yards. And believe it or not, I know and understand that different flours hydrate differently. My grandmother, she only know that I need Robinette flour in the yellow bag, and it need to be the 5-pound bag because I don't like the 2-pound bag, because for some reason, the 2-pound bag, the recipe don't turn out the same.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So she was very, very specific on that. And I could tell you, anytime one of those things, those ingredients was off, Grammy bread was...
It didn't hit right.
Don't talk with my grandmother like that one. Please. You can say it ain't
I
right. It was different.
My bad. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back on the other side. Oh, this says the taxi driver with the tomatoes is Neuville Neely.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Fine threads.
All right.
Fine threads. Somebody else told
me. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Are you on the move? Busy running errands? Do you have so much to do that you don't have a lot of time on your hands? Have you gotten your COVID-19 vaccine yet? Well, if you haven't, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine may be the one for you. It's one and done and fully vaccinated for now. Yes, you only need one jab of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and you're done. Lower your risk of severe illness and death from COVID-19 by getting vaccinated. This message has been brought to you by the Ministry of Health and this radio station.
If you like a hearty, meaty burger, the A1 Steakhouse King at Burger King Nassau has it all. With flame-grilled beef, lots of bacon, cheese, and crispy onions on a sesame seed bun, the only thing that can top this is the tangy flavor of A1 steak sauce. The Steakhouse King is a meat lover's dream, and with an ice-cold Pepsi and hot fries, it's all you need to fill your day. Get your A1 Steakhouse King as a combo or part of the new King's Feast, only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Cashmas time, here we go. Percy's doing it big this year. Cashmas time with extra cheer. 12 days of merry winnings from your friends at Iron Game. Friends we trust, hey, we know. Cashmas time, here we go. Prizes and lots of dough. This Christmas, come catch a lick with 20 on your account. Quick, quick, quick. And you can win some awesome at Percy's Island Game.
Let me ask you a few questions. What's your name?
Pam.
Favorite food?
Steak.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Is your money safe?
It's under my bed, I guess so.
Are you serious?
Yeah, why?
Unless your money is in a bank or credit union that's a member of the Deposit Insurance Corporation, there's no guarantee it's safe.
Yeah, but what if something happens to the bank?
Your Bahamian dollar deposits are insured up to $50,000, so you'd still be ahead. Plus, your mattress might catch fire. Then what?
Man, those banks and credit unions are looking good right about now.
Visit the DIC's website at www.dic.bs. Protection for your money, guaranteed with DIC.
It's a different kind of Christmas, but everything is here.
Yes, everything is here at ShopSmart Department Stores. Two locations just for you. One on Mackie Street next to RBC and in the Prince Charles Shopping Plaza. Come on down. Everything is here.
At ShopSmart. At ShopSmart. At ShopSmart. Oh, everything is here.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We've been speaking with Chef Simeon Hall Jr., who's just telling us a wealth of stories and giving us so much knowledge about our culture. Why don't we know these things? Why don't we understand how these things became a part of us?
You know, again, I go back to what I said earlier. A lot of our culinary background nowadays is based in tourism. And do we get to tell our story the way that we should? I don't think so.
Is that why you do what you do?
Yes. With the work, I'm now working with the port to make sure that we authenticate everything in terms of making sure we have Bahamian experiences in food and beverage. So I'm excited about that. Anybody who's listening, I'm dying to get into one or two of these major resorts and tell a real Bahamian food story. And one of the things or one of the reasons why I appreciate, have researched and look into stories behind food, because I challenge anybody anywhere on the planet to tell me that you've ever eaten a bad plate of food behind somebody telling you the story about it. It's impossible. Because when you create, when you when you make dishes and beverages based on a story, the soulfulness of it, the way that you move and the way that you dance in harmony with that ingredient to tell that story, it forces it to be good. And then it also opens you up for a full experience when I could tell you about the dish. Mm. And one of the things that I try to do with almost everybody that I cook for is to tell them the story behind it, especially when it's Bahamian food.
Right.
Because now it opens them up to listen to the food that I put on that plate.
Wow.
And that in itself creates the experience.
That's incredible.
And when food is amazing when it does one of two things. One, when it reminds you of something, or two, when it creates a new memory.
Mm.
That's when food is exceptional.
Wow.
Because if I feed you something and that says to you, boy, this tastes like what my grandmother used to make. First of all, you won't cry. And secondly, you love your grandmother so much, even when the food was salty, it tastes good.
Right, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I telling you that, and now you experiencing it, and now you connecting to a memory that you had with your grandmother, that's good food.
Absolutely.
Or if you walk away from an experience and you write that in your mental notes to say, wow, that was amazing.
Right.
And so now you now connect to that specific time with that food, and now that is forever something that you're chasing like a drug.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, because like I was telling you during one of the breaks, my mother was an excellent, excellent cook, and she wanted to be a chef, but back in her day,
right,
it wasn't going to happen for a woman, you know, particularly not a black woman. And it wasn't until I moved out and started eating other food that I realized how good a cook she was. And
right.
So I'm still searching for my mother's pancakes. I'm still searching for my mother's mac and cheese or peas and rice and everything like that. And she used to cook for us so well and so much, and I now realize that was her way of showing love.
Right.
All right? And
for
so
sure.
when you taste that food that tastes like your mother's food, you feel that warmth and you feel that love. So it does transport you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. 100%. And that is one of the things that I want our listeners to kind of think about as we move on and everything else that we're going to be doing next year. I want people to remember how amazing Bahamian food culture is. And when I say food culture, I mean food and beverage, because some of the drinks made properly here can, you know,
sky juice,
switcher.
Do it for switcher,
I can't have, one of my favorite dishes is raisin bread and tuna fish salad with switcher.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that goes back to my grandmother,
right,
who made amazing raisin bread. And when you attach the sweet to the savoriness of the tuna and the citrus notes of the tuna, then are blended with switcher, it becomes a well-rounded meal.
Now, I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I've not seen anyone else put mayonnaise in the tuna salad.
They do, but they don't put citrus like us.
They don't put citrus, but they put mayonnaise.
They put mayonnaise, but they don't put citrus like we do.
Okay.
Bahamians like lime on everything. Don't forget that now.
Yeah.
We just put lime on everything.
Right.
So, you know, a few years ago, there was a lime shortage.
Right.
I don't know if you remember this.
I remember.
There was a lime shortage.
It was a problem.
And Bahamians almost lost their mind.
Yeah.
We was putting lime in the microwave. We was putting lime on the stove. We was trying to bury the lime in the backyard. All kind of things. Because that's how much we use limes.
But you know what I realized? The different limes taste different.
Yeah, of course.
Like the lime, the little small key lime,
it
tastes different than like the Persian lime.
Yep,
It affects the food. And it's so counterintuitive to think, let's put citrus in mayonnaise, right?
Because it cuts through the richness of it. Mm. But then now, don't also forget, now we use sour orange.
Right,
and
just
a quick tip. If you want sour orange not to be so bitter, peel it before you squeeze it.
Really?
There you go.
Okay. All right, let's do some text messages before we run out of time. Hi, Juan. I love your show. Thanks. And yes, I know about cabbage slaw. Grew up on it on Long Island. Also, the dried fish was fabulous when cooked. and baking bread wrapped in banana leaves in a large iron pot with hot coals on top of it. I could go on and on and on.
Right.
It says, doesn't everyone add mayonnaise to tuna? Maybe. Yeah, maybe I got that. I haven't seen anyone cook tuna the way we cook it, actually.
No.
Not that they don't put mayonnaise in it. This says, Juan, ask the chef what meat to put in the stuff in if you're serving lamb.
What meat to put in the stuff in mayonnaise? Well, ground lamb. I would put some ground lamb in the stuffing. But my mother, I also have this on my, I'm almost saying I have the recipe on my website. But my mother has a trick of putting albacore tuna in her stuffing.
Mm.
And albacore tuna in her stuffing, shout out to my mother, who is one of my greatest influences, and my sisters. I love them to death. They can cook very, very well. And my mother does tuna in her stuffing. Listen to me. It has transported and permeated. Every time I make stuffing, it have to have tuna in it.
Tuna and stuffing.
Tuna and stuffing.
Never heard that before.
There you go.
All right, this says, I follow Simeon on Instagram. Love his content, even though he crushed my spirit on the whole yellow versus white grits thing. Kunk salad and grits is a recipe for the squirts. Says, I'm with you, Bahamian curry ain't it. Indian or West Indian curry or nothing. This says, curry was introduced by Mr. George Myers in the 60s when he had a party at Nassau Beach Hotel. That's what I was told by an elderly taxi driver.
Mm.
Says, the Greeks brought crack conch to the Bahamas. My head just did the exorcism twist.
Yep.
All right, this says, Juan, you might have missed it before. I have some kale, bok choy, and some other fresh greens for you. Give me a call or text me. Hey, I will, for sure. All right.
So why didn't you tell me that?
not for you. Not for the chef, right?
Oh, man.
Is it like everyone expects you to cook,
Sunday dinner? What's going on? You know, and whilst we're on that, shout out to my agro-tourism group. Shout out to my chef groups. Shout out to the farmers groups that I'm involved in. One of the things that I would like to plug before I go is to say that, you know, in the Bahamas, we have a lot of product already.
Right.
And one of the things is those products haven't really made it to our dinner tables and our palate. So, for example, some of the best eggplant I ever had was grown in Andras.
Really?
Bahamians don't eat a lot of eggplant.
No.
Some of the best breadfruit. And breadfruit dishes that I've ever had was when I was the private chef for Miss Rita Molly.
Mm.
Rita Molly came to the Bahamas and showed me more about the Bahamas that I had personally ever seen.
Really?
Because one of the things that she made very, very clear is that every food item that she had in her kitchen, she had to know where it came from.
Wow.
We didn't do much shopping at grocery stores.
Mm.
I don't know where we got all the ackee that we got. I don't know where we got all the saltfish that we got, the breadfruit, the every vegetable that you can imagine. First time I ever cooked Dr. Fish was with Rita Molly. First time I cooked fish that I had never even known was out to the dock, I learned to make it when I was with her. So, you know, one of the things that I think is a misconception here is that we do not have a lot of product. The problem is we do not use a lot of what we have.
Right.
And so we need to make sure, especially as chefs, that a lot of these products make it to our table. How many times you go in yards, guavas on the ground, mangoes on the ground, everything's spoiling. Mm-hmm. You go by the produce exchange, things spoiling, pumpkin and all these different stuff. We don't eat it.
Right.
We need to eat what we grow and what is available to us. And start playing with it. Experiment with it. Follow your favorite chef. It don't have to be me. It could be somebody else. They doing amazing work. So please make sure that we expose ourselves to more of what we have available.
Excellent. It says the Gullah people of the Carolinas still use Johnny cake made out of corn. It says we need more anthropology books on us as Bahamians. Could you tell us the name of his book again? You're still writing your book.
I'm still writing my book. And it's going to be...
When you publish it, we come back and talk about it.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
It says, Juan, this is one of the best, most educational and entertaining shows you've ever had. Enjoying learning. Yeah, because I... one of my, secret things I like to do Yeah. Watch food shows. Not food competition shows.
Yeah, yeah.
But where food comes from. Yeah, so they've got like the street food series.
Yeah, I've done all of those.
On Netflix and everything like that. Yeah. And I always wonder, what's our Bahamian story? Because they can tell you their story. And I look around us and I go, I don't know our story. And sometimes we're so self-deprecating that we don't actually attribute anything to ourselves.
Yeah.
We say we stole it from somebody else. Yeah. It's Jamaican or it's Trinidadian or it's from Britain or whatever like that. Yeah. And we don't know enough to be able to tell our own story.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that keeps me going. And, you know, one, I've been very, very fortunate. Coming out next year, I'm in two major productions.
Excellent.
One's going to be online. That's going to come out pretty early. And one's coming out in the fall on a major network. We were able to land a leading role in one of the series, the new series that is coming out.
Excellent.
on a network. And so that episode features the Bahamas, wow, and I was literally co-hosting it with the guy.
That's incredible.
And we talked about the Bahamas. I was all Androgian Dan and everything else. I love it. I think the Bahamas is so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I just want people to understand that we are so amazing at our core. And I just don't get why we don't put ourselves out there more. Because when we do what we do, only Bahamians could do what we do. We only sound like us. We talk like us. We eat like us, etc. And one of the things that I'm proud to say, even in my writing, even in my cooking, even in my on my website, and now in my menus, I write my menus like Bahamian language.
Mm.
So I don't believe in broken language anymore. There's nothing broken about Bahamian language.
It's just Bahamian.
I talk to major, major people in Bahamian language.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, Chef Simeon Hall Jr., it's been a fantastic show. I've learned so much. You satisfy so much of my curiosity.
Thank you so much.
Sorry I couldn't get to everybody else's text out there. We still got dozens of them. But this has been great, and we're looking forward to have you back.
Awesome. I'd love to be back.
All right. That's going to do it for the show out there. You guys take care, and have a great day, Bahamas.
Yep.